Gentlemen of the jury, you are the judges of the evidence to be laid before you. Now be just and fear not, for the true administration of justice is the foundation of good government.
Famous jury trials. Dramatizations of cases taken from actual court history. The names of persons and places have been altered to protect the identity of those concerned.
The State versus John and Emily Reynolds.
It was a June morning a few years ago on a quiet residential street of a large city when the neighborhood was startled by the sound of a woman screaming. So on that quiet June morning was discovered the horrible murder of elderly spinster Sarah Pendleton. A crime blazoned in the newspapers as the case without a clue. For not one piece of evidence was found on the scene to indicate who had committed the terrible crime. And when a young couple, John and Emily Reynolds, were arrested, it was generally predicted that they would be speedily acquitted when brought to trial.
Famous Jury Trials presents The State versus John and Emily Reynolds.
Right. Famous Jury Trial.
The State versus John and Emily Reynolds.
On the day the trial opened, the courtroom was crowded with interested spectators, eager to see what evidence the district attorney had gathered to make him believe he had solved the case without a clue. During the opening address, John Reynolds, a keen-looking, intelligent-looking man of 32, leaned forward often to whisper to the defense attorney. But his pretty young wife, her face drawn and pale, sat silent to the end of the district attorney's remarks to the jury.
And we will show that this couple, John and Emily Reynolds, boarded with an elderly spinster, Sarah Pendleton. On the 3rd of last June, they left her house and claimed that they never returned there. But we will prove that 3 days after they had moved out of Miss Pendleton's, John and Emily Reynolds returned there secretly and brutally and wantonly murdered Sarah Pendleton. I call my first witness, Nellie Carr.
Nellie Carr. Nellie Carr. Nellie Carr, take the stand, please. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, the Almighty God?
I do.
Miss Carr, you cleaned house for Miss Pendleton.
Yes. I went to her 2 days a week, Wednesdays and Saturdays. Saturday was off day.
I see. Now, will you tell the jury what occurred on the morning of Wednesday, June the 10th, when you went to Miss Pendleton's home?
Oh, will I ever forget it? It was just on 9 o'clock when I rapped at the back door. Nobody answered, but the door wasn't locked, so I went inside.
And what did you do?
Well, I noticed 4 bottles of milk standing on the back porch, and it crossed my mind Miss Pendleton might be sick. So I went upstairs to her bedroom, and there I saw...
Never mind that now, Miss Carr. Tell me, what was Miss Pendleton's occupation?
Oh, she was a lady, Miss Pendleton was. But sometimes she'd take in 1 or 2 boarders.
And did the defendants there, Mr. and Mrs. Reynolds, board with Miss Pendleton?
Yes. They'd been the only boarders for a month. But they left the Wednesday before Miss Pendleton was killed.
Oh, there had been other boarders before that.
Yes, but they'd left about a month before the Reynolds did.
I see. Thank you, Miss Carr. Cross-examine. Miss Carr, when you discovered the body on Wednesday, June 10th, what else did you observe?
Well, sir, there was a strong box in Miss Pendleton's bedroom I'd never seen before. And it'd been broke open and it was empty.
I see. Now, Miss Pendleton was alive on the Saturday before when you cleaned for her?
Oh, yes, sir.
And the defendants had already been out of the house for 3 days when you saw Miss Pendleton alive?
Yes.
Miss Carr,
Are you sure that Miss Pendleton was still alive when you left the house that Saturday?
Why, of course she was. What do you mean? Now, look here, young man. You can't be hinting that I'm the one that killed her. That's slander, that is.
That's all, Miss
Pendleton. I didn't kill her. I didn't.
That's all.
The district attorney called his next witness, Benjamin Sawyer, an elderly, irascible-looking man who hobbled to the stand and was sworn in.
Mr. Sawyer, you boarded at Miss Pendleton's while the defendants were there, did you not?
Yes, sir, I did. Left a month before she was killed.
Now, did you ever overhear either defendant questioning Miss Pendleton about her financial arrangements?
I sure did. It was common gossip that Miss Pendleton kept her money hidden somewhere in the house. Always paid for everything in cash. And one evening when I was going to my room, I heard the Reynolds one there talking to Miss Pendleton in her room. And the Reynolds woman said, if I had any money, you wouldn't catch me putting it in any bank. I'd keep it right in my own house where I could keep an eye on it. And Miss Pendleton agreed with her. I didn't hear no more.
The next witness, Police Detective Henry Johnson, told how he had searched the Pendleton house, but the only clue to the murder was the empty cash box. There was no weapon, no fingerprints, or other evidence to help solve the mystery. And then the district attorney asked about the defendant's connection with the case.
Now, officer, did you attempt to trace the boarders who had left the house a few days before the murder?
Yes, sir, but nobody knew where they'd gone. You couldn't even get a good description of them, sir. Didn't have a thing to go on until several days later.
And what happened then?
Well, it was this way, sir. I left Miss Pendleton's house one morning when a street photographer came up and snapped my picture. Then he tried to give me a coupon.
Here you are, mister. Take the coupon and get a spoiled picture to sell for a dime.
No thanks, buddy.
It's only a dime, mister. Come on, help a guy out.
I told you I don't want it. Get out of the way, will you? Hey, what are you ducking for? I'm not going to hit you.
I ain't gonna take no chances. Fella tried to beat me up the other day. A guy with a girl. He came out of that house. He just came out of two.
Uh-huh. What? What did you say? They came out of that house?
Yeah. Guy and girl. He took a poke at me when I snapped.
Just a minute. What day was that?
Last week sometime. Oh, Saturday, I guess. What's it to you?
I'm a detective, Bud, and I want to talk to you. Come along down to headquarters with me, and we'll have you answer some questions.
And you questioned the photographer?
Yes, I wanted to see that picture of the couple coming out of Miss Pendleton's house.
Is this the picture you found?
Yes, sir, that's it.
I offer it in evidence.
It may be received and marked.
I would like to point out to the jury that both defendants are wearing gloves. And John Reynolds was carrying a case when this picture was taken. Would you just pass that along, please?
Mm-hmm.
Now, officer, having identified Mr. and Mrs. Reynolds, were you able to locate their whereabouts?
Yes, sir. We found them in another part of town at the Benson Arms Hotel.
Did you search their room?
Yes.
And what did you find?
We found a walking stick with a heavy weighted head.
Is this the cane you found?
Yes, sir.
Offered in evidence.
No objection.
Let it be received and marked.
And did you find anything else in the defendant's room?
Yes. We found about $4,000 in cash.
Is this the bundle of bills you found?
Yes, sir.
I offer these bills in evidence if the defense will concede that they total $4,000.
Conceded. No objection.
It may be received and marked.
That's all, officer. Your witness.
No questions.
What?
No questions.
Call Peter Purley.
Purley, the photographer, was sworn in and closely questioned by the district attorney.
Mr. Purley, you are the photographer who took this picture of the defendant.
Yes, sir.
Do you know the date that you took that picture?
Yes, sir. It was Saturday afternoon, June the 6th.
You took this picture of the defendants leaving Miss Pendleton's house on the day she was killed, 3 days after they had moved out of that house.
Yes, I did.
And what happened when you took this picture?
Well, the woman screamed and the man, he all hauled off and he sucked me. And he tried to smash me coming with his cane, and that's the one he's carrying in the picture.
Yes.
So I hightailed it down the street as fast as I could go. This camera's cost money.
Thank you. Take the witness.
Well, that's an unusual picture, Mr. Purley. You're a good photographer, aren't you?
Good as the best.
Yeah, exactly. And it must be discouraging to take so many pictures under all sorts of conditions and have so few of them used.
You said it, mister. You take hundreds, thousands of pictures. Most of them are never seen.
Thousands of pictures, huh? Hmm. And you take them in all parts of the city?
Sure, all over.
So you take thousands of pictures under all sorts of conditions and in all parts of the city. Yet you want this jury to believe that you can remember the exact date and hour when you took just one of all these thousands of photographs.
I remember it all right. I had a stuck in the jaw to help me remember.
Isn't it a fact that you weren't sure of the day when you first talked to the police?
Well, I remembered it as soon as I stopped to think about it.
Wouldn't it be more accurate to say you pretended to remember?
I don't know what you mean.
You mean to say you felt no resentment against the defendant for the blow he struck you?
Sure I do. When I ever get a chance to get back at
you. You had a chance, Pearlie, and what did you do? You ran away. You weren't man enough to stand up to the defendant in a physical fight. And that's why you found this safe way to get your revenge. By coming here deliberately lying about the time you took this picture. You are lying, aren't you?
I object, Your Honor. I object.
Hey, look here. Nobody's going to call me a liar. See? So I'm a coward, am I? Well, I'll tell you. Hey, let me get at that guy. Come on, let me get it. That's my job, will you? I'll tell you.
Order, Mr. Bailiff. Hold the witness.
The courtroom was in an uproar of excitement as photographer Pete Purley, crimson with rage at the sneers of the defense attorney, attempted to attack him in court. He was quickly subdued, but he left the spectators wondering if this hot-tempered little man might not deliberately lie in order to revenge himself upon the defendant, John Reynolds, who had assaulted him on the street. We will continue with this famous jury trial in just a moment.
Wells Fargo delivers the horsepower.
Gotta make the river by sundown, Jerry.
Nowadays, Wells Fargo can put you behind not just 6 horses, but 100 or more, with options the early drivers never dreamed of. Automatic transmission, tape decks, and quad speakers, bucket seats, factory air, and...
Whoa! Whoa! The river kind of snuck up on us, Jimmy.
Power brake. Wells Fargo delivers the horsepower with an auto loan so quick and easy, it can take just 5 minutes to apply. Then your Wells Fargo banker takes over and sees it through. Within 48 hours, you could have your money. Wells Fargo auto loans offer a variety of options, including nothing down, 100% financing, and a fixed bank rate so low, you'll be driving more car than you thought. Wells Fargo Bank Auto Loans. We deliver the horsepower. Now it's back to famous jury trials on KNBR 68.
And now back to the courtroom where Sarah Pendleton's banker was called as the next witness for the prosecution and testified that Miss Pendleton had drawn all her money from the bank some years previously with the intention of keeping the money hidden in her home. And then, with a robbery motive for the murder established, the district attorney called an expert on blood and blood stains, Edward Moore.
I examined the cane belonging to John Reynolds for blood stains, and I found traces of human blood on the heavy knobbed handle. The blood was of the same type as Sarah Pendleton's.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Your witness.
Mr. Moore. Was the blood you found on this cane of an uncommon type?
No, it's one of the most common.
There's nothing to indicate that the blood was Miss Pendleton's and no one else's?
No, of course not.
That's all.
The state rests, Your Honor.
The state rested, and as the defense lawyer rose to open his case on behalf of John and Emily Reynolds, spectators wondered how he would explain the blood-stained cane, the large sum of money found in the defendant's rooms, and the deadly evidence of the photographer who swore that John and Emily Reynolds came out of Miss Pendleton's home the afternoon of the murder, 3 days after they'd supposedly left the house. But if the defense attorney was worried by this massive evidence, he didn't show it as he concluded his address to the jury.
This case is formed out of a flimsy web of purely circumstantial evidence. It'll fall to pieces once the light of truth is turned upon it. We'll prove that John and Emily Reynolds are entirely innocent of this terrible charge of murder. I call my first witness, the defendant, Emily Reynolds.
Emily Reynolds! Emily Reynolds! Emily Reynolds!
Mrs. Reynolds, how long did you and your husband live at Miss Pendleton's home?
About 2 months. We were down there looking. It was cheap living there.
And when did you move out?
On 3rd June, 3 days before Miss Pendleton was murdered. We never saw her again after we left. Never went back there again.
Did you or your husband assault her?
No.
Did you move to the Benson Arms Hotel?
Yeah.
Rather an expensive hotel, isn't it?
My husband just made a lot of money. That's why we left Miss Pendleton.
And how had he made this money?
Gambling. My husband does for a living. That's why we have so many ups and downs. Sometimes at a fine hotel, and for months at a cheap boarding house like Miss Pendleton.
I see. Thank you, Mrs. Reynolds. Your witness. Mrs. Reynolds, you say that this picture of you and your husband was taken on the afternoon of June 3rd.
Yeah.
And you were leaving Miss Pendleton's for good. This was taken as you left the house for the last time.
Yeah, it was.
Then, Mrs. Reynolds, where is your luggage? Look at this picture. Where are your suitcases and handbags?
Well, we sent them on ahead earlier.
How did you send them?
Well, we'd taken them with us when we left the house that morning. The picture was taken that afternoon. We came back to Miss Pendleton's. Well, just for a last look around, really, to make sure we hadn't left anything behind.
You returned to Miss Pendleton's from the Benson Arms clear on the other side of town just for a last look around?
I know it sounds lame. The truth always does. When it's the truth.
And so do lies, Emily Reynolds. And you are lying, aren't you? This picture was not taken on June 3rd. You did not return to the house that day for a final look around. This picture was taken on Saturday, just as you left the house where you and your husband had murdered Sarah Pendleton. Isn't that so?
No, we didn't. We didn't kill her.
That's all. Call Thomas Vine. Thomas Vine. Thomas Vine. Thomas Vine. Mrs. Vine, where were you on the night of Tuesday, June 2nd?
I was working at a gambling place that night, sir. You said I wouldn't have to mention the name.
Did you see the defendant that night in your place?
Yes, he was at my table playing roulette.
And did he win?
Yes, he was a big winner. He ran $50 up to something like $5,000 before his luck broke.
And he left the place with several thousand dollars.
Now, yes, sir.
Take the witness. Vine, can you give the names of anyone who saw the defendant win all that money at roulette?
Well, no, sir, I can't.
But a run like that must have attracted a lot of attention, didn't it?
Yes.
You don't remember any of the people who were there?
Anyone who works in a gambling place, he never remembers who was there.
Mr. Vine, I will remind you that this is a murder trial. If you can name any witnesses, you must do so, regardless of whether it will embarrass your customers or not.
I tell you, I don't remember who was there.
That is all. Call John Reynolds.
The crowd in the courtroom waited in anticipation as John Reynolds walked slowly to the witness stand and was sworn in. First, his attorney dealt with the defendant's attack on the photographer, Peter Purley.
Mr. Reynolds, you have a special reason for not wishing your picture taken?
Yes, I don't mind telling you I'm known to the police. I've done time. I know I'm a gambler, and gambling is the only way I know how to make a living. So I get clear of the cops. Naturally, I don't want any pictures of me floating around advertising the fact that I'm in town.
I see. You were gambling on the night before you left Miss Pendleton?
Yeah, I cleaned up, too. So the next day, Emily and I packed our things and moved to the Benson Arms Hotel.
I see. Do you generally carry a cane, Mr. Reynolds?
Yes. In my business, I often have to carry a lot of money around with me, and I need some kind of a weapon. I'm not fool enough to carry a gun without a permit, so I carry a heavy cane instead. It's the best I can do.
And have you recently used this cane to defend yourself? Yes, about a week after we left Miss Pendleton's, a man attacked me as I was leaving a gambling place one night. Now, I hit him across the face with my cane and ran. When I got home, I saw there was blood on the cane where I'd hit him, so I wiped it off. But, of course, it left the microscopic traces the expert found.
I see. Well, thank you for your very frank answers, Mr. Reynolds. Cross-examined.
Reynolds, besides gambling, weren't you once charged with attempted blackmail?
I object.
Sustained.
Strike that out. You can't bring up any charges that weren't proved, Counselor.
Reynolds, you made it your business to find out about people, didn't you?
Sometimes.
And that's how you found out about Miss Pendleton, isn't it? You learned that she kept a large sum of money in her house. That's why you moved there, isn't it?
That's a lie. I never knew she had any money.
But you didn't dare strike when you first moved in because there were other boarders there. You had to wait until they left. And then you and your wife wormed your way into that old lady's confidence, didn't you? And when you had learned where her money was hidden, you killed her, didn't you?
No, none of that's true. I didn't kill her and I didn't rob her.
That's all. The defense rests, Your Honor.
The state rests, Your Honor.
Come up to the jury for the defense, please.
Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. On the face of it, the district attorney brought a good circumstantial case against these defendants here. But now look how that case has gone up in the air. There's no proof whatever that the defendants were anywhere near Miss Pendleton's home on the day she was murdered. The photographer who says he took their picture that day is clearly lying. It isn't possible that he would remember what day he photographed this couple out of thousands of people he photographed. Though I have no doubt he's been cleverly convinced by the authorities that he did remember. And what of the other elements in this case? We have shown how the defendant came into possession of the money found on him. And finally, we come to the blood-stained cane. The defendant used this cane as a weapon of protection, so it's not surprising that there was blood on it. Ladies and gentlemen, there is not a shred of evidence against the defendants that cannot be explained away. Not one fact that is inconsistent with their absolute innocence. Ladies and gentlemen, on the basis of the evidence before you, you can find but one possible verdict. Not guilty.
The prosecution will sum up.
Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, first of all, I want to point out to you that whoever committed this crime had a very special knowledge of Miss Pendleton's domestic arrangements because, first of all, the crime was committed in broad daylight on a Saturday afternoon. And why Saturday afternoon? Because the cleaning woman always left at noon on Saturday and would not return until the following Wednesday. That gave the murderers 4 days to cover their tracks before the murder would be discovered. And then, Miss Pendleton must have been killed by someone she knew well. She was upstairs when she met her death, where she would not have received any but people with whom she was on informal terms. And she made no attempt to escape. She thought she was with friends. All this fits the defendant. And finally, we come to the much-disputed picture taken of the defendants as they left the house. Look at this picture, ladies and gentlemen. The expression on John Reynolds' face is not one of rage or indignation. It is an expression of sheer and utter terror. He was trapped at the very moment of committing the crime. And that's why he tried to smash the camera. That is proof. By the clear testimony of Peter Purley that he took the picture on Saturday. The defense says that he couldn't remember the day, but he had a punch on the jaw to impress that day on his mind. In the light of this one fact, will you believe the testimony of the gambler, Vine, that the defendant won the money found on him at roulette? Both Vine and the defendants are gamblers. Doesn't that suggest to you some collusion in this evidence? Ladies and gentlemen, the evidence of the guilt of this miserable couple is overpowering. John and Emily Reynolds are guilty of murder in the first degree.
How would you have judged John and Emily Reynolds? Was all the evidence against them capable of innocent explanation?
Or could you believe that they had plotted and carried out the dreadful murder of Sarah Pendleton? We will bring you the actual verdict of the jury in just a moment. After 8 hours' deliberation, the jury filed back once more into the courtroom, prepared to deliver their verdict.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
How do you find?
We find the defendants, John and Emily Reynolds, guilty of murder in the first degree.
John and Emily Reynolds were hanged for their crime. Before she died, Emily Reynolds begged for mercy, claiming that the murder was committed by her husband over her helpless protests. But she failed to convince the board reviewing her case, and she went to her death on the scaffold shortly after her husband. And so ended the story of an almost perfect crime that was solved only through the unforeseen accident of a street photographer who, all unknowingly, took a picture of the murderers almost at the very moment they had committed their crime. Famous Jury Trials, the drama of the courts drawn from actual courtroom cases. This is a Grace Gibson radio production, directed by Lawrence H. Settle.